Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We head out to Arizona. Adam McAlvey standing by, our from MLB.com and also Brewers.com, our guy. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I was just having a great conversation with Josh Hader about all the technology that they're working with now. Unbelievable how much that's changed in baseball.
How is he, by the way? I wanted to ask you that. How is he, by the way, after the whole arbitration thing and then some of the details of that leaked out about some of the tweets that he had and such? And that just seemed like such a mess.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's the process. Again, it gets back to it's less Josh Hader being mad at the Brewers. And I think it's more about Josh Hader's representation making the point that the process didn't work for this guy, because he's widely regarded as the best reliever in the game right now, super valuable. And Craig Counsell even said it, that if the system doesn't reward Josh Hader, it's a flawed system. But I don't think that means that Josh Hader is like mad at the Milwaukee Brewers or mad at David Stearns. It's an outside anonymous, basically, lawyer who makes the case for the Brewers. They use outside counsel for those hearings. So it's not as if David Stearns is up there reading Josh Hader's tweets. That's the process. Both sides are able to use, I think my understanding is, whatever evidence they want in order to try to build their case for that figure. So it's why both sides work so hard to not get to the point of going to a hearing, because it's no fun for anybody.
So you were talking about the technology, as the pitchers and catchers have reported. We're obviously into some spring training ball, but go back and kind of expound upon that, because I did want to touch on that, because you and I have not talked about it since. But
yeah.
it just, for lack of a better term, it looked bad for the Brewers to bring up tweets as a mention in what they would or wouldn't pay a guy who has performed on the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, again, like that's just the system. That's how the system works. I don't know how else to say it. It's you have this discussion, I think, with every team that goes on an arbitration hearing with a player, because the team gets up and they basically make the case for how bad the player is, and it's a really weird, awkward system that's set up. But I'll just tell you, like, the interest level in it and the worry about it is approximately a million times more serious outside the clubhouse when I talk to, like, you guys and fans than it is for Josh Hader and the team. I mean, I don't think that's on Josh Hader's mind at all. I think they understand that that's just the way this thing is set up, and they go back to getting ready for the season. I mean, he's motivated to perform well because he's going year to year in this arbitration system. So, I don't know if the worry is that he's not going to perform well because he's mad about arbitration. He's very heavily incentivized to perform well because he's got to do that again next year and the year after and the year after. He's got three more turns through that system if he doesn't sign a longer-term deal. So he's super incentivized to go out and have another dominating season.
So now let's turn our sights towards camp itself. Give me the lowdown, because I know it's early and it's just everybody's looking for some big story, and it's tough. Unless there's an injury, there really isn't a big story. You know what I mean?
No, it is, and it's you know, I wrote yesterday about Corbin Burns throwing a 94-mile-an-hour slider, which you don't see. I mean, I was looking at the list. There's something like 80 of those last year, and they were almost all from Jacob DeGrom and Zach Wheeler. So, you know, he threw one inning against the A's in the spring training game. I don't think you draw, like, huge conclusions from that, but a pitch, a singular pitch like that, and you see a jump from, you know, the average was just shy of 88 miles an hour on his slider last year, and now you see it 94. That seems notable to me, even though it's just one pitch and just one inning and just one outing in spring training. So that's the sort of thing that I'm looking for down here, is sort of little signs like that, and you try not to overstate it or draw to, you know, Orlando Arcia has a big day at the plate yesterday. I don't think that means he's going to be Cal Ripken, but look, you looked for signs of things that guys were working on and signs of improvement, and I think there are, you know, there were some positive things last year. And again, on the pitching, there is lots of new pitches being debuted down here. A lot of these guys are using this tech to debut new pitches. We talked to Ethan Small. He's working on a slider. He's never thrown that before. He wasn't comfortable. He didn't throw it yesterday against the A's, but that's something we're going to see this year. We got Eric Lauer on this new changeup grip. There's all kinds of guys working to get better, and I would say the big difference now is, instead of kind of talking in theoretical terms and, you know, working with what the coaches see as they watch you, you're now talking in theoretical terms, talking about what the coaches see, and also looking at, you know, super high-res slow-mo video of what the ball looks like coming out of your hand, and looking at TrackMan data that tells you the spin rate of the ball, the axis, the drop, all these kinds of metrics. And there's a lot of data based on collecting all these pitches from games of what's good, what works, and what doesn't. And they're trying to integrate that all together. And it's just a fascinating revolution to me in the way that baseball players are getting ready for a season. It is so much different. Robin Yount told me spring training used to be you show up on day one, the coach says, do 25 jumping jacks. You do it, and then they yell, all right, go get them. And now you're ready for spring training. It is so vastly different in terms of the way players get ready for a regular season than it's been before. And I'm talking about 50 years ago and even compared to 2 years ago.
Let me ask you about the experiment that is going to be Ryan Braun at first base. How comfortable are they with him playing there? I mean, last year I saw him play a couple of times in spring training, and it was, you know, wasn't a terrible experiment. Fine. But, yeah. You know, are they good with that? Or, I mean, I guess you got to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're good with it, because the problem when he was at third base, it wasn't the fielding, it was the throws, right? If you think back to those errors in 2007, it was almost all throwing errors. So this guy came up a shortstop. His whole life he played shortstop until he got to pro ball. And he's comfortable fielding a ground ball. The stuff he says takes work, and more work than people give credit for, because there's still this notion that you just put any old lump at first base and it works. There's a lot more to it at the major league level than that. All the shifting that they do can make it very complicated for a first baseman to get to the right spot. Cutoffs and relays can decide a game, being in the right position. And some of that just becomes instinctual when a player is at that position for so long. So he's got to learn those instincts. And that's the kind of stuff I think that they work on. But in terms of like the 95% of the job over there, which is field ground balls and take throws from infielders, I think they feel very comfortable that he's going to get the job done. Now, how much it actually happens in games, I keep saying, like, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Because we spent so much time and energy talking about this in 2018 after they got Kane and Yelich. And Ryan Braun at first base was like the story of that spring training. And it ended up being, what, like 12 games? Circumstances dictated that it didn't happen. It was Jesus Aguilar emerged. And other issues in the outfield where Braun was back in the outfield. So circumstances can still change here, and they're preparing themselves for whatever eventuality comes out. And the best thing that can possibly happen to them is that they have a really, really hard time getting enough at-bats for Garcia, Kane, Yelich, Smoke, and Braun. Because that means that all those players are healthy and performing, and they're trying to figure out kind of five guys for four spots. And that would be a great problem.
Talking with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. So when, the Brewers, obviously, injuries will dictate, you know, when they start to begin to cut guys down and who stays and who doesn't. How much of a concern or how much discussion has there been about this whole, you know, pitchers have to face a minimum of three batters and how they're going to use guys and who they're going to carry and how many pitchers they're going to carry? Has it changed things or is it just we'll wait and see kind of how it plays out?
Well, look, I mean, baseball being the weird institution that it is, change happens always. It always seems to me that change happens in such strange ways. We're not going to see the three-batter rule until, I think, March 12th, which gives you, like, what is it, like 10 days to go before spring training breaks, 2 weeks before opening day. So, like, we're not going to get to see it with our eyeballs until then. And part of that is that, you know, a lot of these guys are on such strict pitch counts now. You can't institute that now because it doesn't make sense. But the big thing that I think Craig Counsell has stressed is that the rule is three batters or the end of an inning. And in his view, the end of the inning is getting somewhat overlooked because there were certainly outings where Alex Claudio comes in to start the seventh inning and faces one batter. And those will no longer be unless he gets injured. So that is going to be a change for a guy like Alex Claudio, maybe a right-hander like Eric Yardley, the sidearm guy who's real tough on right-handers. You probably want him primarily facing right-handers. Ray Black, a guy who's really good against right-handers. So there are going to be instances where it changes, and those pitchers are working in camp, talking again about new pitches. They're working on sort of refining their equipment to get other-handed hitters out. So Ray Black is going to have to figure out something to consistently get lefties out. Alex Claudio is going to have to be better than he was last year at getting righties out. But I think the number of times that's going to come up in a game, Craig Counsell has kind of been making the argument that we may be overstating the significance of that, of how much that rule is actually going to impact games. So, look, March 12th, I might be wrong about that, is the date where we're going to start to kind of see it in practice. And I think we won't really get a feel for how much it sticks out, how much it actually, like, what it looks like until we see it.
Hey, one more thing before I let you go, and that is going back to Josh Hader. You know, the knock on him was he had basically one pitch, two pitches, and that was it. Has he developed another one or not?
Well, look, I mean, we just had a 10-minute conversation, and I had to walk. Well, we would be still talking because he was really into it and really interested in the way that he's using this tech to work on his changeup. So this is spring training, and one of the great cliches, besides guys being in the best shape of their lives, is working on a changeup, right? So he's working on a changeup, and the difference is instead of, again, just having sort of coaches' input and feel, he now can literally turn around on the mound and say, what did that look like, and stand there and look at the video. And what was his hand position at release? What finger was the last to touch the ball? What does the spin look like out of his hand? And they have, you know, they have all kinds of metrics now to figure out what is the best way to throw. What is the best way for Josh Hader to throw a changeup? And they're able to look at that literally in real time right there on a practice mound. And it's really interesting. So, yeah, he is working on a changeup. And I said, does that mean we're going to see it more? And, you know, nobody wants to give away their secrets or their game plans here in spring training. So basically he just said, watch and see. So let's see how many changeup we see come out of his hand once we get into the season.
Good stuff, buddy. We will again talk to you soon next week, okay?
All right. See you, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. That is Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Hey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.